Chop Sports Network presents Chart Choppers. Welcome to another edition of Chart Choppers. I am your host, Alan Austin, and this week I am joined by Jenny Paul. She is an actress. She is currently working on the internet series Adulting with Jane. And Jenny, we're here to talk about my top 10 character actors and actresses, so character performers. And for people who don't know what that means, these people are typically not the lead and they often play eccentric side characters who the crowd loves. So if you have any arguments with that logic, let me know now or forever hold your peace.
No, I love it. I'm all about people that have, you know, a wide range of abilities to do things that, you know, make people laugh or just are, you know, off the mainstream of, you know, just delivering lines. So I'm in.
Awesome. Yeah, some of these people have played lead roles, but I think they are traditionally known for their supporting characters. And you can tell me if you think I'm right or wrong. And this list could have been 25. I'm keeping it to 10 for the sake of the listeners' time, but this one, there are going to be a ton of honorable mentions that we'll roll through and have a little bit of discussion on. So why don't we just jump right into the list? At number 10, I have Randall Park. Now, Randall Park is an actor who's been around for a while now, mostly under the radar, but in the last couple of years, really, you know, I would say it probably started when he played Kim Jong-un or President Kim in The Interview in 2014. I think that's what really opened a lot of people's eyes to his ability, but he's been around for a long time and he's always just so delightful. He's so funny each time he's on screen. I mean, people might remember him more recently from Ant-Man and the Wasp, or there was the Netflix movie Always Be My Maybe where he was one of the leads, but he was so likable. He's just a delight.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much taking over the world. He's in everything, I think, at this point. I think I just watched him in WandaVision, also obviously Ant-Man, where that came from, and then Young Rock. He's on Young Rock now.
Yeah, he's on Young Rock as the interviewer?
Yeah, he's the framing device, which, like, you know, questionable in my own mind, but he does a really good job, you know?
Yeah. And WandaVision, like you said, he's so funny and reprising his role from Ant-Man and the Wasp. And he always just pops up like in small roles, but he's so likable. So at number 10, Randall Park. And we will move on to number 9. Now, number 9 is somebody that you said you might not be super familiar with, but it's one of those people for the listeners, when you know him, when you see him, you will know him. And it's Luis Guzman is my number 9. Luis Guzman has been in a ton of stuff, both comedic and dramatic. The things that really brought him to my attention were Boogie Nights, the Paul Thomas Anderson film. I mean, he's been in Narcos. He's in a couple Sandler movies. He's in The Do-Over. He's in Sandy Wexler. He's in Anger Management. And he's always just playing this ridiculous, over-the-top character. And I always just smile when he's on screen. So he gets a spot on my list because he's always naturally funny and he just commands a scene when he's on screen. So Luis Guzman just had to be on my list.
And just the pure fact that I know exactly what he looks like and who he is and what he does without actually having a really grounded sense of his work, I think means that he probably might belong in that list. And although he did make a recent appearance at a Knicks game that I was at, so that was exciting.
Oh, did he make it on the big board and all
he
that?
He did. I love that they do that. It's like the celebrity board.
Yes. Your husband sent me a video of someone who will get a honorable mention later on, but just like the list that day, I think it was, he said like Chris Rock, Tracy Morgan, you know, name after name after name, just popping up. And now Luis Guzman also in that established company. So number 8, Toni Collette. So Toni Collette is somebody that, by the way, Randall Park, fresh off the boat. He was the lead of, we didn't even mention that, but number 8, Toni Collette. Toni Collette first caught my eye in one of my favorite movies of all time, and that's About a Boy. You know, real good friends of mine know how much of a Hugh Grant fan I am. And so when she pops up in About a Boy playing Nicholas Holt, who's now a star in his own right, but he was a young kid back in this film, she's playing his over the top, kind of eccentric, but very depressed and manic mother. And it was just like, what a performance. The fact that she got nominated for The Sixth Sense way early on is very admirable. But there are some roles that she really stole the show in. People love Hereditary, where she got to really, you know, it's a horror, dark, dark movie, but she really got to showcase her talents. And every time she's on screen, again, another person who just commands your attention. Another performance recently where she was a little under the radar, but still brought it, was Knives Out. And that was in a movie with a ton of people and a ton of character actors, if you will. Every time she's on screen, I just adore her performance. And I think it's so powerful, so impactful, regardless of the content.
Well, I feel like with her, I could go on for a year because she's one of those people that like could be in the movie star category and kind of is, and came completely to, you know, the sort of the genre and, you know, American acting like under the radar. She's Australian. She was in a movie called Muriel's Wedding that actually kind of broke its way out of Australia, that was really sort of niche-y. And she was so spectacular that she started consistently getting hired to do everything. And one of those people that, you know, I just, everything she does is interesting and nuanced. And I think my favorite thing she ever did was actually United States of Tara, which only ran for 3 seasons. I think partially because the show couldn't kind of keep up with its own sort of premise. The premise is that she's got dissociative identity disorder and she's dealing with her family as these different personalities. And I think, you know, it was a little ambitious to try to tackle a disease in sort of this like serial comedy thing and then try to make it funny, but also take it seriously. And so there were a lot of issues with the show, at least later on. But I think she just did a spectacular job. She, you know, had 8-9 different characters and they all felt like different people. And I think that's, you know, the quintessential character actor right there.
Yeah. A testament to her work playing the lead, but still embodying a character actress, like just like what range, you know, I really love her. I love her as a performer. And if you look at her IMDb, she pops up in so many things as just like small, you know, important, but underappreciated possibly roles. So Toni Collette at number 8. Number 7, and people are going to be like, how is this guy not higher? And it's just because I love the top 10 here really is a top 10 because I went through a litany of names. I had like 3 drafts of this thing. Number 7 is going to be a lot of people's number 1, and that's Steve Buscemi. Steve Buscemi is, how do you not love Steve Buscemi? Whether he's being just outrageous in a Sandler movie, or he's being a commanding, sometimes lead a la Boardwalk Empire, but just The Sopranos, all these like performances, Fargo, the movie, the guy is just a superstar. He directs, he writes, he acts, he's across the board, somebody you want on your team when you're putting together a project. And Steve Buscemi is somebody that I greatly admire. He has a lot of range. Like I said, you know, if you've seen Big Daddy, he's playing a homeless man who wants McDonald's. If you've seen, you know, a number of things, he's always different, but he brings that Buscemi-ness to it. And I just like, I love it. I'm a big fan of Steve Buscemi. Number 7.
Well, I wish I had a better story. I worked on Boardwalk Empire for a hot minute and I met him, but no great story, but he was very nice. I think he's a great pick. You know, I'll see who you end up with higher up on the list to decide if I agree with you or who you potentially think might disagree with you.
Yeah.
But I just think he's one of those guys that has sort of a mystique to him. And I actually saw a documentary about The Sopranos the other day. And one of the actors that was in the documentary was speaking about how I guess David Chase, the creator, didn't think that Buscemi would want to be on The Sopranos because he was too big a star. And then, of course, we all know that he went on to do The Sopranos and had this epically amazing role.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's sort of his thing is he's sort of a star and he's sort of a, you know, a chameleon. And I think that's, you know,
yeah,
wild, I mean, that you can do both.
In Hubie Halloween last year, he played a guy rolling around on the ground like a rabid, I don't know, dog or werewolf or vampire. I don't know. But he really just let it all out. And in the same year, he showed up in The King of Staten Island as the like older firefighter respected guy. I mean, that's range, not necessarily you would think in like Shakespearean to comedic, but it almost is. Like it's that level of difference that he brings to the table. I mean, he's always popping up. He's always good. And he should probably get nominated for an Oscar at some point down the line. I hope he does.
Oh, I hope so too. And of course, you know, I can't ever not think of the lipstick and the Madison scene. Like that's the quintessential for me.
Yeah, boy, I'm glad I called that guy. Moving on to number six. This is somebody who I don't think I've seen more than 10 or 15 pieces of their work, but of that 10 to 15, it's just like undeniable how amazingly talented Catherine Hahn is.
Oh my God.
So at number six is Catherine Hahn, who is somebody that I think I just respect more than I'm a fan of, but respect in such a way that she's got to be in the top 10. And this is somebody who, again, like Buscemi, like Randall Park, like Toni Collette, anchored their own television show and has been the lead on occasion. But I think their sweet spot is that side role that steals the show. And Catherine Hahn, who I first was introduced to in Step Brothers, to be honest. And there she's a tour de force, like just like she's Adam Scott's wife, just teasing and wanting to hook up with John C. Reilly's character. And it's comedic gold. WandaVision, she's going to win the Emmy for. I don't think it's even in question at this point. So she's somebody that takes over and commands a presence, and it's undeniable.
Oh, she's amazing. And, you know, I could go on about her for ever and ever, but my favorites are Parks and Rec. I think that's the character she plays Jen for a little bit on that show is like her wheelhouse, where she's a little bit snarky and a little bit devious. But again, commands the presence and just sort of takes over the room and takes over the scene in a way that doesn't feel like it's ruining anything. You know, it's just a happy moment for anybody who's watching. And, you know, I've seen the more serious stuff and I like it, you know, I like a lot of it. Transparent, she was great in. There was something on HBO this year that she
I know this much is true.
Yes, I saw that. And she's just fabulous. It's like so much so that they make rules for her in lists like these that she can't be on them because
right.
She's too good or too popular or too famous. And I'm like, nah. You gotta give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, I've seen in my research, you know, I always decide what my list is going to be because it's a personal opinion. I don't feel like I need to like cave to anybody. So the fact that people disqualify her, I think, is both a sign of respect and disrespect all in one. But I'm putting her on because it's undeniable. She's been in a ton of stuff. Bad Moms, she plays a really fun character in what is like an okay movie. Just always popping up. And I've said that about all these people. They always pop up. And that's why they're on this list, because they're always popping up. So Jen Barkley, like you said, on Parks and Rec is just an awesome, not over the top character.
Yes.
And like you said, she walks this fine line of chewing the scenery and not. And I always think it's on the side of not. I always think it's authentic while still being big.
Yes.
Which is very totally hard. Agree.
That's an art, I think.
Absolutely. It's very hard to do. So Catherine Hahn at number six. Now, number five, people are going to be like, who is that? But for a lot of listeners, once I describe a couple of his roles, you're going to be like, oh, okay. I wouldn't have thought of him, but I love this person as a performer. I followed their career as a little kid. Now, just some backstory. As a little kid, I used to be the biggest movie nerd, more so than I am now, where like I would follow just an actor or actress I liked's career and tried to watch all of their stuff. Like I was obsessed, but not in a weird cutting pictures out and putting them on my wall way, but if I can't see the movie because it was rated R and I was young, I would read the script online. That kind of nerdy. So at number five is Wood Harris. Now, for people unfamiliar with Wood Harris, if you went to middle or high school between the years of 1999 and 2008, you watched Remember the Titans at least 50 times. Remember the Titans is one of my favorite sports movies, and he played Julius Campbell. So Wood Harris came out the gate, and what's funny is he played a high schooler in 1999 when he was born in the 60s. So he really just like, you know, they used to do that a lot more back in the day where high schoolers were played by people in their 20s, sometimes 30s. I'm looking at you, Grease.
You know, I'm looking at you, Dear Evan Hansen, coming our way.
Oh, my goodness. All of the criticism and jokes that trailer garnered, I don't care what the subject matter of the film is and how serious it is. How are you going to try to slip that by the internet community without being made fun of? Like, that's on them.
You just have to own it.
You have to own it. So Wood Harris, he played Julius Campbell. He went on to be in The Wire, where he played Avon Barksdale, the main antagonist of the first three seasons.
So I feel like he's the one somehow that didn't become like uber famous from The Wire, even though he was very much as important, or if not more important to that story than some of the people that became super, super famous from The Wire.
Idris Elba comes to mind.
Idris, Michael B. Even, you know, I guess you could kind of put him on par with like Isaiah Whitlock, that kind of guy. But, you know, they all have sort of, you know, some of these major stars came from there. And then, you know, him who was fabulous in the whole series, and he was just, you know, and he sort of stayed at the level that he was at, which is a really stellar working actor.
Right. Which is why he unfortunately is on this list in a way, because he never did make that leap to leading man status. But anytime he's on screen, he's always good. I mean, people will see him coming up in Space Jam too, which good for him. Maybe it'll open people's eyes, or maybe they'll be like, hey, that's that guy. And that guy is Wood Harris. But a couple other things that, you know, people might know him from Empire. He had a 28 episode run on Empire. So it's good that he's popping up in this kind of stuff, because I love him. You know, I just want him to get that work. So if you look at his filmography, you'll be like, oh, I saw that movie. I saw that movie. I saw that movie. I saw that show. I saw that show. And he's been in all of them almost. So, you know, it's just a lot of the main two for me are The Wire and Remember the Titans. And he's the reason I started watching The Wire, because I was like, I love Wood Harris. And here he is in this show where he seemingly has a big part. And what's crazy is like, he was only in 38 episodes, but when he's there, you notice, like, he's a very vital part of that show.
He has a huge part. I mean, arguably, you know, you don't think, you know, when you're thinking about a show, you don't think about the episode count, even though it matters, especially when there are characters that are in every episode. But like, The Wire wasn't consistently about one person, even in a couple of seasons where, you know, McNulty wasn't really around.
Yeah.
So he just feels like, when you think of that world, he's one of the five people you think of. And that's, you know, that's
yeah.
A huge testament to somebody who wasn't in half the series.
Yeah. And what's good about, you know, his career is that you won't know him as one thing. Like, it's not like people point at him and go, Julius. They could point at him and say Avon. They could point at him and say Julius. They could point at him and say Ace from Paid in Full. But now you're going to point at him and say Wood Harris, because now you know his name. Before we get to the top four, we're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned.
What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I'm here to let you guys know about some new happenings with Joe Pizzamenti of Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. This time around, I want to bring you guys up to speed on some of the amazing health and wellness products. These products focus on providing happiness for people, bringing out the four happy hormones in our body. That right away makes me happy. These products aid weight loss, sleep, mental clarity, and energy, just to name a few. They have even created your morning coffee to get your day started off right. That's not all, guys. Joe is in the giving mood, so now if you mention Shop Sports, he's going to provide you with a free discounted private travel website that you can use to book your travel needs. Even better, if you become a customer of Joe's, he's going to give you guys a travel voucher that you can use for up to a year and are only responsible for airfare and taxes. Visit attitudeofgratitudellc.com for more information.
Hey guys, this is Kim from the Goddamn Jets podcast on the Chop Sports Network. And when you're me and you have to be on camera your entire life, you want to look your best. I need to tell you guys about Lashes by Kayla. They're my go-to for magnetic mascara, liner, and lashes. That's not all. Kayla offers eyeshadows, lippies, plumpers, blush, and more. This entire line is the first of its kind to market. The formula is vegan, cruelty-free, and hyperallergenic. Shoot Kayla a message on Instagram at lashes_by.kayla or visit shop.torybellcosmetics/kaylacosmetics.com.
We are back for the top four. This is a top four, Jenny, that is just so talented. Like, some of these people are, all of them, I should say, are really great, talented performers. Somebody at number four who's relatively new to my sphere, but has been around for seemingly ever, is Jean Smart. Jean Smart is an actress who really caught my eye in season two of Fargo. So a little bit later on, but Fargo being one of my favorite television shows, that's also not one of my favorite television shows, just because I think some seasons are so much better than others. And the fact that they have different casts and whatnot really separates them in terms of quality. But Jean Smart in season two, I know she got nominated for the Emmy, possibly even more, I can't recall, but that really put her on the map for me. And then everything I've seen or heard her in, more on that in a second, have really just like left me entranced. Mainly Watchmen, her arc on Watchmen. I thought she was the best part of, I can't even say that because there's so many best parts of Watchmen, but I remember her distinctly. Big Mouth, she voices a character named Depression Kitty, who is so, for a show that's maybe the raunchiest show I've ever seen, that is a somber, you know, sobering character that she just yanks you into, even though it is not on par with the rest of the show in terms of comedy. Not on par, you know what I mean? It's not the same vein. Just showing up all the time, a simple favor. She's been in one episode of some of your favorite television shows. Just most recently, Hacks, where she is a co-lead, but it's still a very character performance, albeit with a lot of gravitas. Jean Smart, please tell me you have an opinion on Jean Smart, because I love Jean Smart. Me?
So you know where you talked about when you were a kid and you geeked out on an actor and you watched everything? I do that now as an actor, as an adult. I did it as a kid. Truth be told, mostly I, you know, find a female of some sort because, you know, something about that. But so anytime you get me on one of those tracks, I can go forever. But with Jean Smart, actually, I've always loved her. I've never gotten myself on a Jean Smart kick because I've never latched into something where I went, oh, I need to go back and watch everything that she ever did, because she just started poking now, like you said, in sort of the mainstream consciousness. But that Fargo season, oh my God, chills. She was so good. I think she's actually most famous, at least in a little bit before my time, for a show called Designing Women, which was a huge hit for like I said, just before my time. And I've seen a few episodes of that, and I vaguely remember her from that. But really, just in these last few years, she's just gotten some meaty stuff. You mentioned Hacks; she's incredible. She's gonna. I'd be surprised if she didn't win for Hacks. It's just, she's just so good in it.
I'm certainly rooting for her.
Oh, I'm absolutely rooting for her. She's so good. And then there was something else big that she did. Oh, Mare of Easton or Easttown or whatever that. It's another HBO show that's a Kate Winslet show, who is an actress that I went, you know, I watch everything she ever did. And she's fantastic. She's the comic relief in a very serious show. She's funny. She's, you know, humble. She's just everything you want in a, you know, in a comedic release kind of role, I guess. You know, she's the relief. And you know, just that she can jump from doing something like that and then jump to, she's, you know, all glitz and glam. And she plays a character called Deborah in Hacks, where she is basically like a, you know, a rock star comedian for many, many years, and just, you know, as diva as they come, kind of, but also keeping the humanity of all of those kind of big, broad choices. And I, you know, I'm a lifelong fan, and I think I realized that in Fargo, but it's sort of, she sort of locked it down for me this year. And they're even reporting her. They're talking about her in a Renaissance right now of some sort. And they think she has her own word. And I'm like, that's amazing.
Well deserved.
More actors pop after, you know, years and years of all this work, and people go, that's who she is. You know, I hope more people get that. But she's incredible.
Absolutely. And she, you know, when I was looking through her IMDb, you know, researching, she's in a movie that was one of my favorites as a kid. I wouldn't remember her in it, obviously, in a million years, because I haven't watched this movie since I was like 10. Homeward Bound.
Oh.
She pops up in Homeward Bound, which was one of my favorite movies as a kid. Shout out to that scene at the end where they're standing there in the field or whatever, and up they lost two dogs and a cat, and one by one they come racing over the hill to reunite, and it's very dramatic. And as a kid, it was awesome. Shout out to Homeward Bound. But Jean Smart, God. Yeah.
I never realized that was her either. That's amazing.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, I could tell you that Sally Field voiced the cat, that much I remember, but not that Jean Smart was in the movie, because I had no idea who Jean Smart was. So Jean Smart, number four. Top three is a, it was tough. You could almost, you know, they could always, you know, swap out for me. But number three, I'm going with John Turturro. And I don't know if everyone's going to assume John Turturro as a character actor, but I certainly do. I mean, you think of roles like The Night Of, where he was kind of the co-lead with Riz Ahmed in an HBO powerhouse show that was supposed to be James Gandolfini playing the part. Turturro stepped in and played a really eccentric guy. He pops up in a lot of Sandler movies. Mr. Deeds is the butler, Anger Management. John Turturro is the best part of the movie Quiz Show, which was nominated for Best Picture. Coen Brothers, Barton Fink. The guy has been around forever. He's always good. He's just one of those guys who's just so talented. It's undeniable. The Plot Against America, he comes up.
Played the rabbi.
Yeah.
He's very good in that. Very, very good.
And then the Coen Brothers' Big Lebowski, he plays the Jesus, which he later directed his own sequel for. But the guy's in Transformers. Everyone knows John Turturro. And I am just such a giant fan of his that I could not leave him off this list, because he's a Spike Lee guy. He's a Coen Brothers guy. He's a Sandler guy. He must be enjoyable to work with, because not that many people bring you back time after time after time if you're not just a professional. He is a professional actor, and some of the most ridiculous roles. I mean, you don't mess with the Zohan. He plays the villain. He's also in just like these serious movies. Do the Right Thing. He plays Danny Aiello's son and one of the pizza shop guys, who's just an awful person, but such a great performance. John Turturro, number three for me. Love him. Number two, we are moving on to John Goodman. Another guy who is just a powerhouse each time he's on screen. As a kid, I was a gigantic Roseanne fan. You know, as a kid, you're a Roseanne fan. Like,
yes.
That's things kids say. I loved Roseanne, but I did. I loved Roseanne, the television show. I ironically have never watched The Conners or the reboot of Roseanne, but that's only because in my adult life, I just don't have as much time. But John Goodman, one of my favorites. I mean, under the radar performance recently was the 10 Cloverfield Lane movie, where he's so good. I thought he should have been nominated for stuff. A lot of people will know him from Monsters, Inc. or The Big Lebowski, which we just mentioned, where he steals the show in a movie of show-stealing performances. Kong Skull Island recently. He's been in serious movies. Patriot's Day recently. John Goodman. Everybody knows John Goodman. He's always good. He's always popping up where you'd least expect. Great supporting character actor-y roles in Inside Llewyn Davis and Flight recently. Argo, like the list goes on and on and on, and he's never bad. Like, he's never forgettable. He's always powerful, always monumental, and I just think it would have been a sin to leave him off this list. So John Goodman at number two.
I think he's one of those guys that, you know, you think about actors that are, you know, quintessentially chameleon-esque, where you're watching, you know, you're watching John Goodman because he's a presence, But you're also not thinking about, oh, I'm watching John Goodman. You're thinking about, I'm watching, you know, Dan Connor. You're not watching the show thinking to yourself, you know, I'm watching John Goodman in the show. And right. I think that's what's uniquely, and maybe you can make that argument for Totoro also, is you're not sitting there watching what you know in the consciousness of your brain as like a movie star or somebody doing a thing. You know it's them, but you're watching that character and you're not thinking about the external. You're in the world with them. And I think he, of anybody we've listed so far, maybe the most, but is uniquely suited to be doing these different kinds of roles. Sometimes he's the side guy, sometimes he's the tracks, you know, in Roseanne, technically he's the tracks, you know, he's sort of the, Roseanne's kind of wackadoodle, and that's sort of how that show is set up. So he keeps the train running, you know, for the show. And then, you know, and then something like Righteous Gemstones, which is right. amazing. And I, you know, not usually my type of humor so much, but I so love that show. And he is able to both be, you know, interesting and unique and funny, but also be the ground for that show, because every other character in that show is completely off the walls.
Right.
He's able to be the grounding, even when, you know, he's not even the main character, he's not even close, actually. But he's still the one that's in charge, and he's still the one that keeps that world sort of, you know, revolving around him.
Yeah. And I think one thing that makes him stand out is that he is like everyman USA. He's a Midwestern guy who is not a New York, LA type guy. So a lot of people relate to him, which made him perfect for Dan Connor. But it also helps him like settle into a lot of roles and really connect with people. Some of his big, like, just supporting roles, Raising Arizona, Arachnophobia, like Barton Fink. He played Babe Ruth. So this is kind of a sports show as well. He played Babe Ruth. Fred Flintstone in The Flintstones. Like, yes. He is stuff that I just loved, and continue to love. Bringing Out the Dead, a Scorsese movie. He plays an EMT. He's great. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Just movie after movie after movie, and it's nonstop, and it's still going. So shout out to John Goodman, who I just absolutely love.
Great pick.
Now, before we get to our top spot, let's do the honorable mentions, because there's a boatload. I'll race through them, because goodness gracious, one that he was on my list, but I had to take him off. My friend Brendan will be shocked that I took him off. His name's Robert Forster. Jackie Brown is my second favorite movie of all time. He played Max Cherry and was nominated for the Oscar. Love Robert Forster. Some people might know him from Breaking Bad. He was in the final season for a couple episodes. I'm just going to race through. Stanley Tucci, Shay Whigham. I call him Everyday Shay because he pops up in everything. Google him, you'll know who he is. William Fichtner, Danny Trejo, Margot Martindale, Stephen Root, J.K. Simmons, Joe Pantoliano, Joey Pants. Devastated to leave him off my list. Diane Wiest, Patricia Clarkson, Wendell Pierce, who you know, you mentioned Isaiah Whitlock. He could also be an honorable mention. Alfred Woodard, Kyle Chandler, Danny DeVito, Caitlin Olson, Giancarlo Esposito, Catherine O'Hara, Vincent D'Onofrio, Joe Pesci, who I really wanted to put on, Tommy Lee Jones, who might be considered a character actor. It's a little hazy. Bill Hader, Clifton Collins Jr., Oliver Platt, Michael Imperioli was the person at the Knicks game I teased before, Hal Holbrook, Peter Lorre, who was in Casablanca. So I saved my audience the trouble of sitting through a Casablanca discussion in 2021, although I would love it. Ann Dowd, Michael Stuhlbarg, Regina King, Viola Davis, Connie Britton, Bill Camp, who I adore.
Yes.
To the end of the earth. But I just think that between Queen's Gambit, Night of, there just wasn't enough. You mentioned possibly Jeff Daniels, who I just think of as a leading man at this point. I don't even think of him as a character actor. Edie Falco, the whole cast of Parks and Rec, Allison Janney, Richard Kind, Michael Shannon, Gary Cole, Alfred Molina, Helena Bonham Carter, the list goes on and on and on of all these wonderfully talented character actors and actresses. Anyone you wanted to specifically discuss here as like someone I just was like a fool to leave off the list?
Oh, no. I mean, your list is good. You know, these lists can go forever because we're so spoiled with all these amazing artists that we're working, you know, so... No, I mean, you know, you mentioned Jeff. I, you know, I love Jeff. I worked on The Looming Tower, and I just think he's you know, we sat in the hair and makeup chair and, you know, chatted for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And all he wanted to do was make sure that the Arabic that he was going to say that day was pronounced right. You know,
dedicated to his craft.
Right. And you think like, you know, for the guy that was in Dumb and Dumber, like, you know, that I think that's pretty great. You know, that's what he's worried about in the morning. He's not worried about, you know, where his next vacation is going to be or whatever. He wants to make sure that he's pronouncing the Arabic. And I think, you know, I think that's the kind of actor that I'm sure we would find if I met or you met any of these other people, is that it's just really dedicated to making sure that the story is told well.
Yeah, I'm a big Jeff Daniels fan, and he's a real thespian. You know, when he did Dumb and Dumber, he did it from a place of attempting to do it as well as possible. And he achieved, because that is a legendary movie. Yes. He's legendary in it. It's just, he's so good. He Newsroom. He was in another show where he was the lead. I forget the name of it off the top of my head. Looming Tower, you mentioned, where he's really a scumbag and he plays it so well. Just
you,
like,
you almost don't want to watch, because you almost don't want to watch Jeff Daniels playing a scumbag. You know, you're like, oh, why?
And like the pilot episode, he's having like three affairs. And I was like, this guy is. But yeah, I love Jeff Daniels. So honorable mentions. There you go. Time for the number one spot. For me, this is my, this is my favorite character actor. I love this guy. The same Wood Harris kind of thing, where I followed his career early because I liked him in something when I was young. And this guy has worked a wild amount since that time. And some of the things people will know him best, I haven't even seen, but because I've seen him in so much, he's my guy. Walt Goggins.
Yes.
You know, so good. Walt Goggins is somebody who is, he's kind of got that Christoph Waltz ability to, with one slight tweak, be extremely likable or be extremely hateable, you know?
Yes.
So the first thing I ever saw him in was Major League Back to the Minors in 1998. And my dad and I never really went to the movies together. It was a very rare experience. I'd say it's happened under 10 times where my dad and I, who my dad's my hero, you know, love him to death, but the movies was never our thing. As funny as that is, being that I love the movies and have been to a gazillion, but so we went to see that. He plays Billy Downtown Anderson, the hotshot jock. He's like really good in it. And I just like, followed his career ever since, and the guy now more than ever is prominent, and that is a testament to his stick-to-itiveness, his just relentless ambition. And he has been in some of the most talked about things and productions, some of them, and I'll get to the two I haven't seen, The Shield and Justified, two really big TV shows with a definite particular audience who stayed with them. And I've never seen them, and he's still my favorite. And that's two of the things that put him on the map. So let's get to the stuff that, you know, I mentioned Billy Downtown Anderson. He pops up in Shanghai Noon. He pops up in The Bourne Identity, House of 1,000 Corpses. He pops up in a Spike Lee movie, Miracle at St. Anna, Predators, Cowboys and Aliens, Straw Dogs, Lincoln. And then his renaissance, if you will, started. Quentin Tarantino threw him in Django Unchained, where he plays another Billy. Billy Crash is just a vile human being. But when he's on screen, you can't help but think this guy's engaging. He pops up in G.I. Joe Retaliation, Machete Kills, Sons of Anarchy for 6 episodes, American Ultra. And then Tarantino puts him in what I think is probably his best movie performance in The Hateful Eight, as the racist sheriff who kind of forms a bond with Samuel L. Jackson's character. Danny McBride and David Gordon Green brought him on board for their series of productions, Vice Principals, The Righteous Gemstones. He was in a Marvel movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp, but it's just anytime he's on screen, you cannot help but think this guy is great. And I think a true testament to his abilities is the fact that, yes, the show is now canceled, but The Unicorn on CBS is totally not of that realm of anything he's done. He played the romantic lead in a television show, and he did a damn fine job in the episodes I saw. So
I saw it. It was good.
this guy is my guy, Walt Goggins. You know, I do another podcast, American Scene. My co-host Ben would let you know how much I love Walt Goggins. So Walt Goggins is my number one character actor. I just think he's so likable, and I followed his career. I haven't seen it all, but I followed his career. He's great on social media. He's seemingly a pleasure to work with. His episode on Marc Maron's podcast, very interesting. I really suggest checking it out. Walt Goggins, my number one favorite character actor.
Oh, I love it. I've seen maybe a fourth of the things you listed, and and he is very memorable in every single one of them. And you know, we were just talking about John Goodman and Gemstones, and he's sort of the tracks or the satellite where everything's happening. And Goggins plays another Billy.
Billy.
And he, you know, by far and away, with maybe one exception, uniquely one random cameo I could make an exception for, that was the woman that plays the mother.
Right.
He is the best thing about that show, even though everything else about that show is the best thing. Everything about that show is amazing. John Goodman's amazing. Everybody's amazing.
And
takes a step up and rises above and is the funniest part, and is, it makes you just happy to see him. You know, his scene comes on screen and you're just there, you're ready.
Yeah, there's a scene, I think it's the best scene of the series, and I love the series, where him and the woman who plays the mother, it's kind of a flashback where they're tap dancing to the song, or not tap dancing, but they're just performing the kind of, it's a Christian country kind of vibe. And the tension in that scene, albeit a musical scene with John Goodman's character, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful scene, and he's great in it.
He's so good. And they, you know, they all are, but he, you know, he's not a tap dancer or whatever the heck he's got going on there. And he's just owning every minute of that shit. And, you know, the woman that he's singing with is a singer. She's a famous country singer. So, like, you know, not only is he holding his own, but he is also, you know, making you want to laugh until you cry. Like,
yeah,
incredible.
Absolutely. Jenny, thanks for joining me as I went through my top 10 character actors and actresses. Tell us where everyone can find you on social media, and tell us quickly about Adulting with Jane and what's up with the Adulting with Jane.
Oh, yeah. So social media, I'm Jenny Penny Paul on Instagram, and I spend a lot of time on social media, but as Jane, quote unquote, for Adulting with Jane. So I have a TikTok, Adulting Jane, and I have an Instagram, Adulting Jane, and they're all, you know, much more going on there because I spend my time there. But basically I produce and I'm in a web show called Adulting with Jane, which is like teaching people how to do adulting skills. But it's also a comedy that actually Alan wrote the first episode for.
Yes, I was honored really to be good. A part.
It's one of the funniest ones we've got. So I'm all in on Alan. And then, you know, I also did The Looming Tower. We talked about that a little bit, and you watch that on Hulu. I was in Jessica Jones for a short stint, and, you know, trying to build my own career as a much, much lower on a totem pole character actor than all the people we're speaking about. But, you know, like I said, I am constantly working, and that's really all I can ask for. Mm-hmm. And adultingwithjane.com is the show. And so if you want to go check it out.
Thank you so much for joining. Everyone, check that out. And as for top 10 character actors and actresses, that's that. Chop Sports Network presents Chart Choppers.